There we go.
Yes, my recorder got lost. A trusty recorder of many years. So, thank you, Zane, for stepping in. So we did have a little meeting in Stockton this past Monday through Wednesday, and we're planning on putting together a church planting there, perhaps as early as fall next year, so in about 14 months. Not a guarantee. Be praying for that. Maybe some of us will move up to Stockton. One of the practices our church has is doing what's called a special contribution every year. We didn't do it our first 2 years because we were being contributed to, all right? Mm-hmm. But as early as 2025, we may take up a special contribution. And if we do so, most likely the money would go towards that mission planting. Depends on the church board. I'm kind of talking right now, to be honest with you, but that's my hope. All right, so of course we had our 4th of July picnic, but I only got one picture from the picnic. It was a great picnic. There you go, Diane and her son. That was great. Yeah. All right, so Proverbs.
Dang.
We've been doing the wisdom literature now for almost 3 months, I think. It was a long time ago when we were doing Job. Then we spent almost 3 months doing Psalms, and we spent 2 weeks doing Ecclesiastes. So now, naturally, we're going to be next. Proverbs. Actually, technically, we should have done Proverbs before Ecclesiastes if we follow the biblical order, but I don't think that really matters a whole lot. So, wisdom from Solomon, right? We're getting a triple dose of wisdom from Solomon because there's also the Song of Solomon or the Song of Songs. Not sure yet if I'm going to preach from Song of Songs.
No.
Okay. Why not? Right? It's in the Bible. So the question today is, what kind of life do you want to live? All right? In Ecclesiastes, Solomon dealt with the big questions of life. Like, why am I here? What's my purpose? What's the meaning to life? What happens when I die? Those big philosophical questions that everybody asks. In Proverbs, it's very different. In Proverbs, he's dealing with those small questions like, what should I do tomorrow? Or how should I treat my neighbor? So Ecclesiastes deals with the big questions of life, and Proverbs deals with the smaller questions of life. How should I live? How should I handle this situation? What should I say to this person? You could argue that the big questions are the more important questions, but I'm not sure about that. Because I think how we live, that's really important. And as with the wisdom in Ecclesiastes, similarly in Proverbs, much of the wisdom in Proverbs is somewhat generic. In other words, it's not Christian wisdom per se, it's wisdom. But it's inspired wisdom. It's wisdom from Solomon, but through the working of God. It is inspired. So a question for us this morning is, what kind of life do you want to have? Okay? What kind of life do you want to have? What kind of person do you want to be? Ecclesiastes wouldn't help you with that so much. But Proverbs certainly will. So practical stuff. Again, not a lot of theology. I warned Ryan that he's on his own with his Lord's Supper talk because this lesson is not likely to give him a lot of material for talking about the cross. Not likely to. Okay? A few things, just very, very briefly, because when I start a new book, I like to say a little bit about the book and the author and date and that kind of stuff. I don't have a lot to say. The author is Solomon primarily, but there's sayings of Lemuel and sayings of King Agur, and there's other wise sayings. It's not all by Solomon. And it's almost impossible to outline the book. All right? It's really almost impossible. And to preach from verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 31, verse whatever, it doesn't even make sense to preach through it in that sense. All right? It's not organized according to any sort of an outline. It's sort of random-ish topics. Kind of similar to James. James in the New Testament is by far the closest thing to Proverbs in the Old Testament. In fact, the only other Bible book I'm actually going to quote from today is going to actually be James. All right, so basically then, Proverbs is made up out of, I don't know, around 600 or so Proverbs. And most of them are in the form of couplets. So there's two kinds of couplets. There's the parallel kind and the contrast kind. The parallel kind will say two things that are kind of two different ways of saying the same thing. All right, that's just the style. So for example, it says, pride goes before destruction and haughty spirit before a fall. And by the way, if you don't know what haughty is, just look at pride. It's kind of prideful, okay? In fact, when I was a very first month, I think, working for a church many, many years ago, in the ministry many years ago, the guy who was sort of leading me said, you need to do a word study on the word haughty. It's like, oh, wow. If you know what haughty means, that's pridefulness, right? So there you go. On the other hand, the other kind of couplet in the book of Proverbs is contrast. So it'll contrast two different things. He'll do the lazy person versus the diligent person, the wise person versus the fool, those sort of things. So an example, the wages of the righteous is life, but the earnings of the wicked are sin and death. So that's the style. There's not a lot to say, honestly, about the style of Proverbs. Kind of it. So what I've done is I've organized, kind of done a pretty thorough, pretty careful study of the book of Proverbs, and I've divided it up into topics. This is either going to be 2 weeks, or it's going to be 3 weeks. I don't know yet, because we're going to get through the first two or three topics this morning, and then we'll get through some more next Sunday, and then we'll see. Okay? So the topics are wisdom generally, what the Bible, what Solomon says about wisdom, how to get it, what it is, and that kind of thing. The qualities of wisdom. Then next will be self-control or self-discipline. Advice related to having self-control. Young people, pay attention. All right. And then number three, closely related to that, is the topic of laziness versus diligence. And I kind of lumped in the few passages specifically about finances there. And then number four would be pride versus humility. And guess which one the Bible suggests? Okay, got it? And then closely related to the question of pride and humility is taking advice and counsel in your life. There's a ton of passages on that. And then a whole section on relationships. Okay, relationships like peacemaking and the tongue. There's a section on wives. Here I am as a husband preaching about wives. Well, I'm going to tread softly when I get there, but I'm not going to skip it, okay? Because it's in the Bible, all right? And then there's a section on the poor. So what do you think? Which one is covered the most? I thought I knew the answers until I started counting.
Counted all of them?
Which one has the most verses? Which category has the most verses in it?
Pride,
wisdom. I thought it would be advice. That's what I thought it would be. But the answer is it's relationships. The most advice from Solomon has to do with our relationships. And you think about it, yeah, that kind of makes sense. It kind of makes sense. Of course, I had to categorize, and so somebody else, if they were categorizing, might have had a different quantity. But, you know. Now, I've got an assignment, all right? I've got a homework assignment. And yes, Jose, it's your first time here, but I don't care. It's your homework assignment. You got something. Homework. When are you guys going back to San Diego? Or to Michigan, rather? All right, so you get the homework, too. Now, I'm not going to enforce it, but it's up to your dad. You're going to pick 5 memory verses from Proverbs.
Yeah.
And you're going to memorize them. And next Sunday, I want you to have at least 2 of them memorized. And then we're going to take a break and share them with your neighbor, the one you memorized. Okay? How about pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall?
Yeah.
All right? How about, there's so much great advice. And the thing is, for some reason, Proverbs are easier to memorize than any other area of Scripture. I don't know why. They just, I think probably because that's how they do Proverbs. They purposely design Proverbs to be easy to remember. Go to the ant, oh sluggard, you know, that kind of stuff, okay? So that's your assignment, should you decide to accept it. But if you're not going to accept it, don't come back. No, just kidding, just kidding, just kidding. No, just kidding. Just kidding. No, I'm totally kidding. All right, five memory passages, and then actually memorize them and be prepared to share them with somebody, okay? So we're going to go through this outline. We're going to get through the question of wisdom more broadly, then on self-control, and we'll see if we get through the section on laziness or being a sluggard, as the Bible says. Okay, let's talk about wisdom. We were asking the question a couple of days ago, why is the owl the symbol of wisdom?
Oh, yeah.
And I forgot to look it up, so I don't know the answer. But I think owls look sort of prideful and haughty. And we associate prideful and haughtiness with wisdom, which is so unwise. I don't know. It's just something about that look. And another thing is, I found out that owls, their eyes don't, the way they do this to move their eyes, so it makes, I don't know, it looks like they're looking around. I don't know what it is. Anyway, let's talk about wisdom. Proverbs 1:7. We're going to be reading a lot of passages. And unlike what I normally do, I'm going to read three or four passages sort of in a row in different places and talk about them at the same time, right? So sort of bear with me here. Try to maybe listen carefully because we're not going to have all four passages on the topic in front of us at the same time. So here we go. Proverbs 1:7. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 9:10. Let's see if we can find the pattern here. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." And Proverbs 14:27. Are these parallel or contrast?
Parallel.
Parallel, right? Proverbs 14:27, which says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death." And then Proverbs 15, verse 16, which says, "Better a little with fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil." So what is the common thread in these four proverbs?
Fear.
Fear. Now, are we supposed to fear God?
Yeah.
Well, apparently it's the basis of all godly wisdom. So, and by the way, this word fear, it doesn't necessarily mean shaking in your boots, necessarily. Or, I don't know, peeing your pants or something like that. You're so scared. But it could be. In other words, on Judgment Day, if you've been a blatant rebel and disobedient, disrespectful person towards God, that's probably exactly what you should feel. In fact, in Daniel chapter 6, when Belteshazzar, in the writing on the wall, I mean, he was shaken in fear. But Christians should fear the Lord as well. And the word fear has more of the meaning of reverence or respect or thinking of somebody who's way, way greater than you and has a lot more power than you do. So I think God wants us to feel two things, and he wants to be able to feel both of them. He wants us, on the one hand, to feel safe in his presence, to feel secure, to feel nurtured, believed in, taken care of, on the one hand. But on the other hand, he wants us to live in fear, in reverent fear of his awesomeness, his power, and his sovereignty. And we're going to look at a lot of, you know, balance kinds of things in, because wisdom has a lot to do with balance. So a question for you this morning is, which do you more strongly tend toward? That feeling of safety, security, being nurtured, being taken care of, being believed in by God, or the sense of, I better watch my step. I mean, this is God after all. I better not mess around. So there's a balance between kind of what I think of as a go-for-it attitude, you know? With God, I could do anything. God has my back. He's on my side. Let's go out there and do great things for God. In fact, if you're not feeling confident in God, you know, you're just not even very spiritual. I'm the son of a king. As it says in 1 John, perfect love casts out fear. And in Psalm 18:29, with your help, I can advance against a troop, and by God, I can scale a wall. All right? Yeah. Actually, Jen's saying forward the slide, but I don't think so, because no, we're still on that. I know. But on the other hand, and this is the one that Solomon is emphasizing right now, and so it's time for us to think about it this morning, is a sense of reverence, a fear of falling into sin. Because although God did say, perfect love casts out fear, and with your help I can advance against the troop and scale a wall, he also says, be still and know that I'm God. He says, in Isaiah 6:3, it says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And in Revelation 4, they're bowing before the throne, saying, holy, holy, holy. They're not saying I can scale like a troop and all that sort of stuff. And then Paul said in Philippians 2:13 that we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's there in the Bible. So the question is, which one do you not do so well? All right, which one do you need to grow in? I think, for me, it's more in the reverence end. It's more in the fear end. That's the thing. That's the end I need to grow in, personally. Now, which one is going to, let's say you want to have a good life. You want to have a well-lived life. You want to gain wisdom. Which of those two is going to more likely produce that? That sense that God's got my back and everything's great and I'm safe, or the sense of reverence, awe, and fear? Which one? The sense of reverence, awe, and fear. All right? Fear is a powerful teacher. And so if we ignore that aspect of God, all right, then we're probably making a mistake. You know, a good friend of mine, Jose Mesa, when he prays, he always says, Daddy.
Yeah,
he says, Daddy. And I'm telling you, I don't like that. Yeah. I'm it's not bad. I'm not getting down on his knees. I'm just saying, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't know. But he's leaning towards that one, and that's good. That's good. All right? But I don't know. What can I say? I feel like reverence and awe just doesn't allow me to say that. But it's awesome that Jose says that. Amen. But I'm not going to start doing that, honestly. So, anyway, something to think about. Because really, today, it's more like things to think about, okay? Other scriptures related to wisdom. Now, these three passages, it is three, right? Two, I guess. Yeah, two. These two passages are a little bit the other side of this dichotomy, if you will. So Proverbs 3:5. Proverbs 3:5. This is one of those memory passages. I bet Zane already has this one memorized. I'm sure he does. All right, and maybe it should be on your list. Have you picked one yet, Brianna? No? All right, you working on it?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. And then there's Proverbs 4:23, which says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Some translations say, for it is the wellspring of life. So God says, on the one hand, fear him, but on the other hand, trust him. Fear him, but also trust him. Give him your heart. Because if he doesn't have your heart, he doesn't have you. And that's not good. We have to understand and believe that he loves us. Do you think you're smart? I think I'm pretty smart. But we have to trust God's wisdom. So one thing I know is if you think you're the smartest person around, you're not going to be smart for very long. All right? So we need to learn how to lean on God. Trust God, not trust yourself, because you are not as smart as you think. All right? And he's going to talk about some other things to trust in, like advisors and counselors. But one of the advices we get from Solomon is we need to learn to lean on God. And that's wisdom. Trusting God, trusting his answers, trusting his ideas, trusting his understanding, and thinking you're not as smart as you think. Okay, Proverbs 3:13. Okay. These are some passages just like, just seek wisdom. And by the way, there's a lot like this. I could have picked, especially the first five or six chapters of Proverbs. If there is any outline to Proverbs at all, the first five or six chapters are just about the subject of wisdom more broadly, and then the more practical applications come later. Right? So here we go. Proverbs 3:13 says, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. So he says, we will be blessed to seek wisdom. Don't seek honor. Don't seek glory. Don't seek money. Don't seek fame. Don't seek success. Seek wisdom. By the way, who in the Bible is a great example of seeking wisdom rather than money and all that stuff?
Solomon.
So Solomon's in his wheelhouse here. He's like, there's something. He's kind of done a pretty good job in this area, I would say. In fact, I'd say he's done a really good job. Proverbs 4, verse 7 and 8. Says the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Duh. The secret of running fast is run fast. Right. The secret of blank is blank. But he's making a point here. All right. Proverbs 4:7-8. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. That costs all you have. Get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. Do you seek wisdom? Do you seek wisdom? And God is telling us we need to cherish her. And if we do, it's going to be like finding treasure, right? Proverbs 10:14. Says here, the wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. All right? And so I want to park here a little bit. Here we go. Store up knowledge. One way to gain wisdom is to store up knowledge. Do we have any trivia buffs here?
About what?
Just trivia buffs. Come on, raise your hand, Zane. You're a bit of a trivia buff.
Yes.
Okay. By the way, our activity,
this coming Friday, we're going to have a Bible trivia night.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And don't worry, we're going to ask really easy questions. All hard ones, don't worry. Everybody's going to, you know, who is Lord or something? What book do you find God's word in? No, stuff like that. We'll have a few like that.
You're going to be easy about John.
All right. But basically, the Bible is telling us, pay attention. You know, people have asked me, I guess I'm sort of smart in a way, you know. And people have asked me, how'd you get so smart? And one of the answers I give, in fact, the most common answer I give is, I pay attention. All right? When it says, I pay attention. And I watch what people are doing. I'm always observing. I'm asking questions. Why did that happen? What was the reason for that? What's the cause? What's the effect? You know, these kinds of things. And Solomon was really good at this. So he's telling you to be good at this. Basically, what's he say here? The wise person stores up knowledge. So you're trying to gain skills, you're trying to gain friends, you're trying to get... But one thing you need in life is to just learn stuff. Read history books. Read philosophy books. Don't just watch romance. Read romance novels and watch, I don't know, basketball games, because you're going to learn nothing from watching a basketball game. Okay? So Solomon, I mean, this is practical. Again, like I said, I could say this to an atheist. This is just generic advice. But you know what? If you want to do great things for God, you need to grow in your wisdom and grow in your knowledge. So just a little reminder, pay attention here. In life, pay attention. Notice what's going on. Ask the right questions. Be a little mini scientist. Do little experiments. You have a thought, test it out. You think something's true, there's Google. Find out. All right? Proverbs 11, verse 30. I hear that chuckle from back there, but Google is right most of the time. It's wrong quite often, but it's right a good majority of the time. Proverbs 11, 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The one who's wise saves lives. And you know, to the extent you grow in wisdom, people are going to go to heaven because of that. Because you pay attention. Because you understand the human heart. Like Solomon said, I delved into the human hearts. Understand how they think. To some extent, this comes with age, but age does not necessarily produce wisdom. There's some people that are just as stupid now as they were 30 years ago. Okay? Because they're not paying attention. But the Bible is saying, if you will seek wisdom, if you'll pray for wisdom, if you'll seek understanding, if you'll grow in knowledge, over time, that's going to produce this righteousness, which is a tree of life. And then Proverbs 13, verse 20. Okay? This is some pretty good generic advice. This is a great memory passage. It says this, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Some of us have some pretty foolish friends. Okay? I'm trying not to look at anybody. All right. Some of us have some pretty foolish friends. And you know a fool, because they keep getting in trouble. They just constantly get in trouble. They just don't seem to have any sense. It's like, hello, didn't you learn from that? And Solomon is saying is, don't spend time with those people. Just don't even be around them. Find wise people. Now my suggestion is this. Because generally, and I said this, I think, last week, hang out with some old people, right?
Yep.
But I think there are some younger people that are relatively wise as well.
Amen.
So it's not just old people. There are younger people that, compared to other younger people, are pretty wise. They've kind of figured it out before their time, right? So you can't be just hanging out with a bunch of old people. So think about it. Just kind of go through your list of people, you know, even under 30 years old. I bet you can think of somebody, well, that person is wise before their time. So the Bible says, spend time with those people. By the way,
Don't just spend time with them. Ask questions. Watch what they do. Think about what they do. Think about why they do it and imitate them. Oh, yes. Imitate them. All right? Next area of wisdom. Okay. We're moving on to our next one is wisdom in making plans. Okay? Planning wisdom or choosing a path, making decisions. Proverbs 14, verse 12. All right. So we're just hitting a few things. Some things this morning can be like, wow, I need to really work on that. Others like, hey, man, that's sort of cool. I guess I'm kind of on that one already. Great. All right. Number. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There's a way that appears right to a person, but at the end it leads to death. Okay? Basically, what wisdom says, if you just rely on your own wisdom, you're going to get in some big, big trouble. All right? And every one of us has that thing in us, that thing that we would do that would destroy our lives. All right? And so, what are you going to do about that? I mean, it might be an economic thing. It might be a temptation thing. It might be a relationship thing. I don't know what it is. But it's funny. Let's go to the whole dating thing, you know. In America, there's three or four things you're not allowed to give advice to your friends to. You give advice on, you know, gardening. You give advice on shopping. Give advice on what vacation to go on. There's three or four things you're not supposed to give advice on at all. Number one is relationships. Like, you don't tell them how to do that. Number two is finances. Number three is marriage. And number four is parenting. You know, you're not supposed to give advice on those things.
Really?
But those are things, you don't tell your friend how to do their marriage. You don't, that's, you grew up in the church, Zane. You grew up in the church. I'm talking about out there in the real world, okay? Out there in the real world, you don't tell people what to do with their money. You just don't do that. You don't tell them, you know, about dating, about marriage, and about finances. But those are the areas we meet the most advice in. It's kind of crazy. It's also the things we don't learn in school at all. They don't teach you how to be a parent. They don't teach you how to be a spouse. They don't teach, well, they're starting to teach finances, finally. The state's finally starting to catch up with that one. Praise God. All right, but I'm telling you, without some help from outside the wisdom, you are going to make a disastrous decision at some point, most likely. All right, Proverbs 16, verse 9. Hate to say it to you, I'd like to encourage you that you're so awesomely wise, but I'm just reading the Bible here, and it says it right there, okay? All right, Proverbs 16, verse 9, it says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. So we have to understand that God is working, all right? And that God has a will, and we ignore his will to our shame, possibly to our destruction, but possibly to God thwarting our bad decisions. Possibly. So, you know, you got all these plans. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. We're going to go to James chapter 4, where you see a person essentially speaking that way. So a wise person, in all of their planning, in all of their decisions, especially in larger areas, such as what I'm going to do for a job, who I'm going to live with, all right, these kinds of things. I'm going to seek relationships. The wise person puts the things of God at the forefront of every one of those decisions. Especially the big ones in life. So you're going to move. Yeah, I'm going to move. Why? Because I get a better job. Where's God? Where's God at? Why are you doing move? Because I'm going to get a promotion. It's a great opportunity. Okay, where's God in that? All right. Is there a church you're going to be part of when you go there? Did you even think about that? Well, but it's a better job. I mean, it's going to really give me great opportunities. Where's God in that plan? If God is, and now, by the way, in choosing what cereal to buy, you don't have to bring God into that. You know, and you know, there's decisions that, you know, it doesn't matter. But we're talking about the big ones, all right? Should I date this person? All right? The first thing you should ask is not, is this person make me feel great about myself? It is, I understand that there's no formula for that one, who you should marry. All right, but is this person going to help me spiritually? All right? Pursuing that degree at the university. How'd you pick that major? How would that major help you as a Christian? All right? I'm not saying that some are terrible and some are great, but some are better and some are not as good. Okay? And how did God come into that? Choosing that program. How did God come into choosing that school? Is there a good campus ministry there? All right? God, you know, we make our choices, but God, you know, God's going to, you know, if we don't listen to God, we're going to make some foolish decisions. It reminds me, I think I might have used this illustration before, but this highway, Route 95 in Connecticut, it collapsed in the middle of the night.
Wow.
There's a storm. It's a true story. This is a true story. And so some guy saw that. He kind of ran, you know, around a corner, and he's going like this. He's going like this. Ho, 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 ho. Slow down. Slow down. And some guy went by him and gave him a one-finger gesture.
Uh-oh.
All right? So, commit the Lord. Commit our plans to the Lord. That's the advice we've been given, and I think we should take it. You know what I'm saying? Let's go to James 4, 13 through 17. So, wisdom from Solomon is every significant decision. Where you're going to live, whether you're going to buy this house, who you're going to live with, all right? Who you're going to date, who you're going to spend time with. We need to allow God's will enter these decisions. And I know it's not always clear cut, but we need to always at least ask the question. Always ask the question. Okay, James 4, 13 through 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. Oops, sorry about that. Some people aren't there yet. James 4, 13 through 17. So you're saying, hey, you're making all these plans. I'm going to do this. I'm going to start this business. I'm going to, you know, blah, 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 get this job, and, you know, buy this house. All right, it says, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, I will do this. All right, so in all of your major decisions, and I'd say even your medium-sized decisions, right? For example, whether you're going to go to work today or miss church because of a certain reason or something like that, okay? Ask, what is the Lord's will? As it is, he says, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, for them it is sin. So what he's saying is, if you have made plans without consulting what God's will is likely to be, you are sinning. We use this passage as we say, this is the sin of omission, or the thing you know you should do if you don't do it. But in the context, he's saying the thing you do without consulting what God's will is likely to be on this subject, which school you go to, who you marry, who you date, who you live with, these kind of things. If you do that without consulting God, you are sinning. So Solomon says, consult God in every plan you make, other than the little stuff for which it doesn't matter. Okay? All right, good. Next, self-control. All right. I was having a discussion with somebody about self-control and self-discipline, and he's not even here today. I hope it's not because of lack of self-control or self-discipline. I hope. I'm definitely not going to say his name because, well, it's probably a totally legitimate thing here. I don't know. So, here we go. This is area number two. We have, I think, seven, right? Seven-part outline. I have no idea how long I've been talking. Normally, I have my thing. I can consult. I think I've been going about 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Oh, 30?
31?
39 minutes.
39 minutes?
You know what I need to have?
What?
Self-discipline.
No, not more time.
Self-discipline. All right. Actually, I had this conversation with two people this last week. One of them is here. Yeah. Come on, Garrick. The one who is here. The one who's not here, I'm not saying their name. All right. So, self-control, self-discipline. Proverbs 5, 22 through 23. Proverbs 5. The evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them. The cords of their sins hold them. For lack of discipline, they will die, led astray by their own great folly. Okay, one of the main reasons we fall into sin is we just don't have discipline. We don't have self-control. All right? And we need to learn self-control. Okay? Proverbs 16, verse 32. Proverbs 16, verse 32. Says, better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. You could have this awesome, amazing, talented person, but without self-control, it's a waste. It's going to do nothing in the end. And notice he connects patience with self-control. I don't know, are you an impulsive person? I am. Are you a person who, oh, wow, let's do it, yeah, all right. Okay, but when it comes to changing your life, by the way, there's times in life that's a great way to be, actually. There's times. But when it comes to self-control, that's not good. You know, you said, I don't do with New Year's resolutions. I don't do those. But you do a New Year's resolution, and 2 weeks later, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. So I want to suggest this book. If you see a brother carrying this book around, you'll know that he's probably the one that I'm, you know.
All right.
All right. It's, and by the way, at the end of the book, if there's a thing like, if you're reading this right now, I haven't read the rest of the book, you blew it already or something like that.
Mm-hmm. But, last chapter. Yeah.
No. No, you don't read the end. You just, self-discipline, right?
That's hilarious.
Yeah. You want to do great things in life? You need to learn self-discipline. The earlier, the better. I had a talk with somebody yesterday, I don't know, somebody, who wasn't having quiet times. And did he not want to have quiet times? No, of course he wanted to have quiet times.
What's a quiet time?
You know, where you spend time praying and reading the Bible. Thank you. You know the answer. Thank you for that softball question. But he's helping me out there. Explain what a quiet time is. And I said, well, why don't you have them? Self-control. All right? And the earlier you learn it, the better. So I'm saying 7 days a week. 7 days a week. Spend time praying and reading the Bible. And if sometime this month, one day you mess up, I don't think it really matters that much. I mean, self-control, learning how to not be controlled by your situation and your circumstances, but by yourself. All right? I started running about 35 years ago. 35 years ago. All right? And I run for many, many years. I just ran once a week. I do maybe 8 or 10 miles, but I run just once a week. But now I do run twice a week. I've been doing it for 35 years. And I miss, like, if I'm in the hospital or something like that. And that discipline has borne fruit in so many ways, I can't count it. All right? And again, this, we're not talking about salvation here. You can have lack of self-control, and you might even make it to heaven. You might. You might not. I mean, there's some warnings here, right? The evil deeds of the wicked man ensnare them. But, you know, the question is, do you want to accomplish things in life? You have to have self-control. You have to have self-discipline. You know, I write books. It takes a lot of self-discipline to write a book because it means you have to concentrate that over a long time. Ryan has got a lot of self-control. This guy, if you want to, this guy here, he's got self-control. I don't know. A lot of it. Ask him how he does it. It's kind of, it drives me crazy sometimes. He's got so much self-control. Dude, lighten up a little bit. But you know what? It bears fruit in his life. All right? I haven't been in his bedroom, but I'm guessing it's probably neat. Probably is. What about your weight? How's that been going? You're saying, well, you know, this, that, and the other thing. What about self-control? Okay? Your quiet times, your reading habits. I need to read more. Okay? Thank you for telling me that.
Yeah.
How about if you start reading and then keep on reading? In fact, don't give it up until the day you die. I need to exercise. I need to fill in the blank. Self-control. Because it says in 1 Timothy 1:8 roughly, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Not the key to salvation, but it is the key to a life that I want to live. So how are you doing in your self-control? Last scripture. I was going to do one section on being a sluggard, but I'm not going to because I'm going to have enough self-control to end, you know, I like to end by 45 minutes.
Amen, bro.
Yeah, amen. All right, the wicked flee, Proverbs 21, though no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because, see, if you have this character, that's what I was talking about with two different brothers this week. I was talking about character. You know, we need to develop character. And character says it doesn't matter what's happening around you. You do the same thing. You're the same person in front of every person in every situation. Mm-hmm. You want to be bold? You know, talk is cheap.
Yeah.
Work on your self-discipline. It'll bear fruit in every area of your life. This is what Solomon's telling you. He's also telling you not to be a sluggard, okay? But we don't have time to talk about sluggardness because we ran out of time. There's going to be some passages that say basically talk is cheap.
Works for jerks.
Talk, yeah, works for jerks. You never heard that? Some people say works for jerks. Yeah. But a Christian says, amen. Give me some work to do. Please. Yeah. Think about who around here avoids work. Just don't look at anybody. Don't look at anybody. Who around here avoids work? Not good. Who around here says, yeah, I'll work. Definitely. Okay. Yeah. Francisco, go. Yeah. All right.
Go.
Imitate that guy.
Yeah.
Imitate that guy. Some of you, I'm purposely not looking at you. Some of you are lazy. Yes, I can't find a job. Oh, yes, you can. Okay, good. But what kind of person do you want to be? You want wisdom? Well, a few advices. I'm not sure if the... I think the plural of advice is advice. I'm pretty sure. But I'm calling them advices. All right, so you need to fear God. Okay? On the one hand, you need to feel that you can trust him, that he's got your back, that he's your... You know, he believes in you, that you can scale a wall with him and all that kind of stuff. On the other hand, just need flat out fear him. Have a deep reverence because he is great and you are not.
Yeah.
You need to trust God, on the other hand. You need to allow his plans to influence your plans. And you need to just pay attention. Learn from things that happen. And you need to ask, not in your choosing what restaurant to go to or choosing, you know, I don't know, whatever. But in choosing the big choices, you need to always consult what God's will is likely to be. Either through scripture, through prayer, through the Holy Spirit, through getting advice. But you always need to ask that question. Is this what God will want me to do or not? Take this job, pursue this degree, live with this person, etc. And then another thing, we need to learn to walk with the wise. And I'd say find an older person and a younger person, both, who can be a source of wisdom. Live a self-controlled life. Work hard. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's our practical sermon today. Okay. So, I think we have another song led by the Zane Meister, 10,000 Angels.
Yep.
Yeah. There you go.
Get that.
10,000 Angels.
And we end the recording. Bye-bye.